I want to say a good evening to our Central Baptist family, friends, church, viewers, anybody that is joining us this evening. This is Wednesday evening, June the 24th, and tonight we're actually going to be looking at passages out of the book of Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, please go ahead and turn to the book of Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at when the church began and kind of draw a comparison between what an effective church was like that we read about in Acts chapter 2, and make that comparison to church today, church as we know it. Now, you may not be a part of our church. You may be viewing this from somewhere else. But boy, this is a good litmus test for whatever church you may be attending to look and see if things are actually being done right. I contend that through the time of this pandemic, that God has been wanting to get the attention of us individually as well as our church. You've heard me say that essentially since we started with this pandemic. But I think this is a time for us to really view the church and see whether or not we've been doing things the way the Lord would have us do them, or whether we were doing things the way we have conceived church to be done. And we've been given this model in the book of Acts chapter 2. Let us begin with a word of prayer, then we'll look at our scripture. Father, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for the time and opportunity to be able to gather around your word. We pray, Father, that you will speak to our hearts today as only you can. May you bless us. May you help us to be corrected where correction needs to take place. And we'll be careful to praise you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 36. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 36. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and delivered them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Let's give thanks for the Lord's word. Father, we thank you for all that you do, Lord, in your ways of leadership and guidance for our heart. Father, help us to be your children that don't make things complicated. Father, simplicity, I've read that in your word today. Simplicity is such a beautiful thing, particularly in our day and age. Help us not to complicate the gospel, but Lord, help us to follow this pattern that you've given us in the book of Acts in regard to church and how we should function and how we should operate. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you. Bless our time as we gather around your word. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to think about that, and if you're part of our church or if you're a part of church somewhere, I want you to think about that for just a few moments. I want you to think about what the function of the church is. What does that look like? Now, I know if you go from one church to a different church, you see that there's different operational procedures. There are different things that that are viewed and deemed to be more important than some other things. So there's a process in how the church goes begins to go forward. Now, I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about church as you know it, but then I want you to think about how church is really today. I thought about this thing through the pandemic. Church looks completely different right now than it looked 6 months ago. It looks completely different now than it did a year ago. And when we look at it, sometimes folks have reason to be sad. They look at it and they say, we're never going to be the same again. Well, maybe we won't, but maybe that's exactly what God wants from us. Maybe, just maybe, the church has gotten too far down its own path and away from God's path, that this is a wake-up call to bring us back to the way the Lord wants things to be done. Now, people might sit back and say, well, how does the Lord want things to be done? I believe he gives us the key to that in the scripture passage that we just looked at here just a few moments ago. So in our story, you know, in Acts chapter 2, we begin to see Jerusalem as 3,000 believers start to come to the church. You got to remember, the church is brand new at this point. It is just getting started. It is just getting launched. I believe if we could sit back and come up with a program, and I'm going to call it that, a program, and said, well, if you go and you execute this program in your church, you will have 3,000 peoples, by 3,000 new converts and church members by next Sunday. That would probably sell just like that. You know, people may think it's skeptical, but the bottom line is that's exactly what happened here in the book of Acts. And it wasn't that they did something that was programmed. What they did was something that God had called them to do. And he does the same thing for you and I today. I think we've complicated things so much in the church. And I'm not saying that everything is bad. We've come up with these program type things that we do, and we etch them in stone, and we may be doing them for all the right reasons. You know, we want to reach people with the gospel of Christ, but I think sometimes we have just complicated church. We have complicated the scriptures so very, very much that it's just amazing. As I was reading through these particular passages today, there was one thing that really jumped. Well, there's a bunch of things that jumped out at me, but one thing in particular talked about, it says, as they went to the temple, and that word kind of struck me. You don't hear people say that today. They say, well, I go to church. They don't say I went to the temple. And that reminded me of my Cuban brother, Julio Cesar, over in Cuba. And we were talking one time, and he made a reference. He said, you know, we're going to be doing this at the temple. And I thought, well, that was just, you know, tradition or culture for what they called the church. And I said something about it, and he said, no. He said, we call the place where we get together, we call the building the temple, because the church is about God's people. The people make up the church, not the building. I thought, man, that is so telltale in our society today, because often we talk about the fact, well, we're going to church. I know it may be a cultural thing, but church really are the people. We're learning that, particularly, that's a great lesson we're learning in the midst of this pandemic, is that church isn't about the building, it's about God's people. So when we look at these particular passages, and the church is beginning, you know, Peter has preached, and he said that the house of Israel, there was something that it needed to do. So when we begin to think about what our lesson as the church would be, verse 36 will tell us, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Folks, that is our message. Our message is Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. That is the message of the church. And that was what he was in there preaching to the folks. He was preaching Jesus Christ. And then something amazing happened in verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I like how the word said it. It says they were cut to the heart. There was conviction in their hearts. How much are we cut to the heart by the word of our Lord in this day and age? I can remember those days and ages where there would be serious conviction in the heart of God's people as God's word was preached. And it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't come to you and I anymore. I think that what's happened is over time, we don't give ear to the Spirit like we used to. I don't think we're paying as much attention. I think there are so many distractions that have come into this thing that we call church. We're busy doing great programs. I think we're so busy trying to do church that we're missing out on what church is really all about. You know, when's the last time that the Lord really got down there and grabbed a hold of your heart? I love what one of the old senior saints who is now with the Lord from my first church used to say. I remember preaching one time and he came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, he said, I loved how you preached the word. He said, you preached in a way that the Lord reached down there and got a hold of your heart and squeezed it till tears came out of your eyes. Well, there was conviction. That's what it was all about. Listen, when's the last time that you heard the word of the Lord and it brought conviction in your life about the way maybe you were doing something or not following in the way that you should? So it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, we know we've got this conviction, so what do we do with it? What is it that we're supposed to do? So Peter begins to tell them, give them the solution to it in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what did he say? He said, repent. This is the key to the whole thing. Repent and be baptized. Now, what is repentance? This is something that we've talked about in our church for decades. It's often been described as a whoop around. It means that you're heading in the wrong direction. And repentance means that you do a 180 degree turn. You're heading down sin's path and you turn 180 degrees and go the other way. Repent. It's when you confess your sins before the Lord. It is when you say, Lord, not only am I sorry for what I've done, I don't want to ever do it again. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't fail along the way. It doesn't mean that we will never, ever sin again. But we repent. We're turning away from it. It's not something that's habitual or continual. Our heart says, Lord, I've made this mistake. I realize it. I understand it. By your grace and with your help, I don't ever want to go down this path of sin ever again. Now, when you give your life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says that there's a special gift that comes along with it. Latter part of verse 38, he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has multiple assignments within our lives. You get the Holy Spirit when you confess your sins before the Lord and you give your life to him. He saves you. If you're born again, you are immediately given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Not only is the Holy Spirit your teacher, the Holy Spirit is your guide. It's that little voice inside you that says, this is not right in accordance with the Word of God. It is that conviction that comes about by the Holy Spirit in your life to act on something, to follow the Lord's will in something, to not do something in the way of sin. The Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide that we should be listening to every day. So when's the last time you heard from the Holy Spirit? Then he goes on in verse 39. It says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Yeah, he was exhorting them. He was lifting them up. He was saying, here's what you need to do. Say, be saved from this perverse generation. He said, there is an action that man does have to take. Yeah, you don't just stumble upon it. We believe that the Holy Spirit convicts a person's heart unto salvation. And then once the knocking at your heart's door comes along, you have the choice as to whether you're going to open that door and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. What choice have you made? Yeah, it says that, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I think everybody watching, listening, anybody that's around would agree that we're truly in a perverse generation, and it's getting worse day by day. And then it says in verse 41, and it says, then those who gladly received his word, those who gave their heart to Jesus, those who were baptized. Now, I got to say this because I say it in my church very often, but if you're listening and not a member of our church, or you haven't been under my teaching, here's something that I always say. Baptism is not an ingredient of salvation according to the word of the Lord. Baptism is your first act of obedience following salvation. In other words, you know, you don't have to be baptized to be saved, although the Lord says that once you've given your life to Him, this is something I'm asking you to do as your public profession of faith, to follow in believers' baptism. So I want to make sure that we have that right. It says that then those who gladly receive, those who open their heart's door, allowing Jesus to come in, verse 41, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, there's a great church growth program, isn't it? 3,000 people came to know the Lord that particular day. And there was joy in the camp. I would call that a successful revival, wouldn't you? Verse 42 says this. It says, and they continued. Here's what happened after that. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now, when you begin to think about how big of a deal this was and what was taking place, it says they were joyously together. They were joyously happy. They were praising the Lord. It says that not only did it was it something that got to their heart, it was also a circumstance or a situation that affected their pocketbook. And when I say affected their pocketbook, notice what it says. It says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, I always love it. People, we pick when we say this and somebody says, oh, watch out now, preacher, you're starting to get into my wallet. But the Lord wanted to bless, and He still does that today. You know, when we preach and we talk about tithing, I encourage each and every one of you to do that, to biblically tithe. And it's not because we're trying to get into your pocketbook. It's not because we're trying to get into your money. Go over to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and look at what it says. God wants to bless you through your giving. And so often we tell people, there's this verse in the Bible that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to know what's important to somebody, look at what they spend money on. You know, think about that in your life. If what's important to you, you know that what's important to you, you're willing to be able to fork out money for. Well, let me ask you this. Are spiritual things important enough to you for you to invest in it for all of eternity's sake? Now, I love what the Lord says. The Lord challenges us in Malachi chapter 3, particularly around verse 10, those first few verses. He says this, go on and try me. I dare you. He says, put me to the test when it comes down to that and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you can't even begin to imagine. Yeah, I think about those things. That's the reason I preach giving to you, not because we're trying to get into your pocket, not because we're trying to pad a budget. That's not what it's about. It's about that you might be blessed because the Lord said, where you spend your money is where your heart is. So let me ask you today, where's your heart? It's where you're investing your dollars, I'll tell you that. Is it in things that are spiritual things or things of the Lord? It says in verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and they delivered among all to anyone who had need. Now, we're not asking you to do that, but I love what took place in our church here, even this past week, where we know of some brothers that are in need, and we know that some of our church family has a heart for these folks, and there was a collection that was taken up to be able to get them food. Now we're talking about they don't even have daily essentials in food, and the Lord has knocked on our heart's door and said, "Here's what I want you to do." And we've done that with gladness. Now, we don't know the results. I hope maybe someday I'll be able to let you know what God has done with that. We'll try to bring you updates along the way. But when he gets into your heart, your wallet's not such a problem. It says that they sold those possessions. And then verse 46 says this, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, I think this is a paramount verse as well. It says, with one accord, they continued in the temple. Remember what I said about the temple? The temple's the place where you go to meet. In one accord is so huge. There needs to be. There has to be unity among God's people in the church. Yet church people need to let go of petty differences. Well, he said this about me. She said that about me. Oh, I don't like what somebody said. It's too... Stop with the petty differences. We need to be in one accord. And what was the accord that they were in? It wasn't a Honda, but what it was this. They all had the same mind, meaning they knew what their mission was. They understood that why we are here is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about our Savior. Everything that we do, everything that we say needs to point to that particular mission. It says in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in unity in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Man, I can't hit that enough. Simplicity of heart. Why is it that we try to complicate the gospel so much? It is so simple that a child can understand it. And yet we try to make something so beautiful and so simple as the plan of salvation difficult. And the Lord Jesus said, don't do that. It says in that verse 46, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. If you read that in another translation, verse 46 reads like this. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous. You know what? They were truly thankful for what they had. It was a big deal to be able to have that opportunity. And notice what it says, and receiving, breaking bread together in their homes. Folks, I believe we need to get to the point where we understand that our home is where evangelism and discipleship needs to take place. I think that's one of the lessons that God is trying to let the church know right now, is it's not about the building. It's not about the temple. Church really is the people, but it's about us being outside that our love might show forth, that people may come to know him. It's about reaching into your community. Who is reaching your community with the gospel of Christ? If it's not you, who is it? You know, God has put you where you are for a reason. He has you living in the neighborhood you live in for a reason. He has you knowing the people that you know around you for a reason. It is time to reach out to them, to disciple them for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is something that we're really hoping to be able to get started very soon through our churches. I know that right now with the pandemic, we can't get together in large groups, but it doesn't say anything about smaller groups. So what are we doing to make a difference where we are, to bloom where we're planted? And I love how it said that. It said that they did all these things with notice verse 46 again. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were glad. There was a generous heart of the people. And verse 47 is a continuation of verse 46. It says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know what? They didn't just meet once a week. So why is it so hard for us to get together once a week? I mean, maybe our attitude has changed amidst the pandemic. But before it was like, here comes Sunday. I have to go to church. Listen, folks, that's not the right attitude. They were going to church daily. They were loving one another. It was such a place of love that you wanted to be there. Now, maybe that's part of the problem within our American church today, is that we're not loving people like we ought to. Yes, I agree that there are a lot of churches that stand in judgment over people, and that's why folks aren't drawn to the church. But the Word of God says that they will know your Christians by your love. How about we have a real heart change to we become like those at the first church in the book of Acts chapter 2? How about our heart change to the point where we can't wait to be with our Christian brothers and sisters? We can't wait to be able to help them or assist them in any way that we possibly can. Even if it costs us financially, even if it costs us of our time and of our tithe and of our talent. What are things that we can glean from these particular passages today? In the church today, what is it that you would think it would take for the Lord to add to our numbers daily those who would come to know him? Well, I can promise you that a good start is you and I being able to say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. Here I am. Send me. Would you be a part of that? I ask that you pray. Remember what it says, the Lord will convict your heart. That's the first thing that needs to take place and happen. Will you be a part of something great that God wants to do, in not only in your life, but in our church, or if you're viewing from another church, in your church? God has given you this message today for a reason. Will you heed the word? Listen, we're glad that you've joined us today. I want to go ahead and give you the, before I close in prayer, the Bible passages, readings, and lesson for next Wednesday. Next Wednesday will be July the 1st. So this week, your Bible readings will come from Acts chapter 7 through Acts chapter 11. That's Acts chapter 7 through Acts chapter 11. And next Wednesday, we will be discussing Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch out of Acts chapter 8. So we'd love to have you join us and be a part of our Bible study here. We just ask folks, if you're new to our broadcast or new to our Wednesday evening, we're just asking you to read one chapter a day in the Word. That's for this week. You start with Acts chapter 7. You'll be going through Acts chapter 11. And when we meet next week, we will discuss Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch out of Acts chapter 8. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Once again, if there's anything that Central Baptist Church can do to be able to minister to you during this time of pandemic, please reach out to us. If you're in the local area, you know us, just give us a call. If you're not, you can reach us by email or by phone. But our website is www.oakridgecbc.org. And it's got all of our information, emails there. But we would love to be able to hear from you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your prayers during this time of pandemic. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we pray that God's going to give you a blessed rest of your evening and a great rest of your week. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for your word that truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us, Lord, to hide the words in our heart that we might not sin against you. And from what we've learned today, Lord, help us to be a part of something bigger than we are. Help us not to complicate it. Help us not to make it so program-oriented that we completely miss the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Father God, use me. May each and every one of us today be able to truly say, here am I, Lord, send me to be a part of growing your church and discipling your church in this year, 2020, and as we go forward. God bless each and every home. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. As we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful evening.